broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's 15-door range and firearms training center. I'm Jeff Pedro, in with Mark Avery, and Sim Trainer is located at 2031 Dryden Road, right across from DP&L in Moraine. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com. You can give us a call at 937-293-3914. Or you can stop by the range, again, at 2031 Dryden Road, and we'd be glad to discuss any of your shooting-related needs, whether it's training, selection of a gun, whatever the case might be. We'd be more than glad to get you the answers, help you have an opportunity to enroll in some training classes. We have a variety of classes scheduled on a regular basis, on a monthly basis, everything from first shots if you're an inexperienced shooter, basic handgun, private lessons, the ever popular concealed carry course, in addition to our advanced training courses. So if you have any particular interests, be sure to give us a call, send us an email, or stop by the range, and we'd be more than glad to help you out. Today is, as I mentioned at the top of the show, an information-packed day because it was a big week for us. A couple of major pieces of legislation made it through the state House and Senate, and we're looking forward to the governor signing a couple bills that are going to have far-reaching implications in a positive way for the gun community. And I'm going to turn it over to Mark and let him kind of give a brief overview and introduce our special guest today.
Well, thanks very much, Jeff. We did have a really good week in the gun community. There were two bills that had been pending in the Ohio legislature. One was for a change in restaurant carry and car carry provisions for concealed carry, and the other is for restoration of rights to allow the Ohio laws to line up with federal law, and that would then allow people who have had their rights restored through due process be able to purchase a firearm and be able to carry without a prohibition from the federal government. And so today, in fact, throughout this week, I've been communicating with my state representative. I'm sure he gets tired of hearing my emails and seeing my text messages, but he's a great guy, and he has agreed to come on the show today. And in fact, he's been on the show a couple of times before, but this is the first time we've had him in the studio. So, Representative Jared Martin, welcome very much to Shooting from the Hip.
Well, thanks, Mark. I appreciate you having me in today, and Jeff, it's a pleasure and an honor to be in the studio with you.
We have you. It's been an interesting week. It's been an interesting process, and I think probably a lot of people don't realize just how long this whole thing took. You were one of the original authors of the bill to change the restaurant carry provisions back in the last session of the Ohio General Assembly, and that didn't go anywhere because of some issues in who was in charge and who decided what was going to get talked about. So this session, it was brought back in very early into the session, and it went through the process. It seemed, from those of us on the outside, to languish occasionally, but when you consider how long it took to get the first one with no progress and to get this one done and passed and sent off to the governor, it was actually not too bad. Why don't you just let folks kind of a little bit on the inside baseball as to what went on and how that all happens?
Sure. Well, you know, as you say, it is sometimes a long process. We started over 2 years ago with the original bill and having stakeholder meetings and getting folks together. And of course, I think the pro-gun folks out there have been working on it for even longer than that. This has been a topic of conversation probably since concealed carry first came into law. After the bill didn't go anywhere last session, as soon as the session was over, we had the redrafts done, and the House bill for the restaurant carry changed a little bit. We redrafted our bill to mirror what the Senate had drafted in the last General Assembly. Of course, those meetings started right away back in January. We had stakeholders from Buckeye Firearms and NRA and Ohioans for Concealed Carry all come together and sit around a table, and we talked about what the bills were going to be and how we were going to introduce them and how they might move through the committee process, and we've done that, and here we are today with two bills that have both passed both houses of the General Assembly, and we're just waiting on the governor to sign them.
And give folks a little bit of a sense of what you think the possibility or the chances are for that. I mean, there was a whole lot of discussion during the campaign about, you know, is Governor Kasich, now Governor Kasich, going to be in the camp of those who support the right to keep and bear arms? Or is he going to be the Representative Kasich that voted for the Clinton gun ban and voted against a repeal the year after that? And, we know what he's said. He's obviously the part of the reason, I think, part of the reason he was successful as in his campaign for governor is because he said basically he's a gun guy and he understands that. So
absolutely.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think he's going to sign the bills. I've not spoken directly with the governor on this issue, but you know, he has said numerous times that vote back in against for the Clinton gun ban was he has learned it was a mistake. He realizes it was a mistake, and he is a pro gun guy, and I think he has every intention of signing these bills. I've talked to staff members who say that he's going to sign the bills, and I believe hopefully in the next couple weeks we'll have an event with again the stakeholder folks who had came in were with us from the very beginning, and we'll do a big signing and have both Senate Bill 17 and House Bill 54 signed into law.
Okay, we're going to need to take a break in just a minute. So very quickly, tell folks about House Bill 54. That was the bill that you sponsored.
House Bill 54 is rights restoration. And what happened was there was a 1998 Supreme Court case that came out and basically said if the state doesn't restore all firearm rights, then you can't restore any. Ohio had one small thing called dangerous ordinance where we didn't restore the firearm rights. The BATFE, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, came in, was reviewing Ohio statute. They said, this was in 2008, they said that, you know, you're not following the federal case law, so you can't restore any firearm rights. And basically, we're harmonizing Ohio law with federal law so that we can go back to a process that we had for decades in which someone who did find themselves under firearm disability had a process where they could petition the court and have their firearm rights restored.
And there have been some examples, in fact, some of these people testified or their stories were related to the legislature that said, you know, these people aren't able to do their job because because of something that happened in the past, they had their rights restored and now they're unable to carry a firearm, even though that's, you know, that it's very appropriate and they need to.
Literally, Mark, we had people who had been legal owners of firearms for years and years, hunters, fishermen, even police officers who...
We need to take a quick break to go out to the news center for a quick traffic alert. Now, restoration of rights has also passed, and that is already on its way to the governor. That was a little bit less controversial. So the one that's been getting all of the media attention has been carry guns in bars. And one of the advantages that we have, of course, is we've actually read the law, and you, having been participating in writing it, you know that that's not really what it's about. We're talking about allowing law-abiding citizens who've already been cleared by the state, who have basically a spotless record or pretty nearly a spotless record, certainly no felonies, no domestic violence, no violence charges in many years, if of any kind, and they already have a license to carry a concealed handgun, and so that'll just mean they don't have to get undressed, if you prefer. I mean, that's the term I prefer to use because that's what happens when I get up in the morning. I get dressed. That is part of the process. And they don't have to get undressed in order to go into a restaurant that serves alcohol. Whether they're consuming or not, they can't be in that presence under the current law. And when this goes into effect sometime in September, and we'll get a date later, then they would be able to go in there. They still wouldn't be able to consume, but they'd be able to go in there.
Yeah, that's correct. And you know, I think, Mark, let me give you an example that I like to use, because this is, I think, is really captures what the intent of this is. You have a fella going out or a lady going out with her family, and she walks into McDonald's, orders a cheeseburger, french fries, and a milkshake, and carries her weapon with her. That's no problem. But if she goes across the street to an Applebee's, which has a liquor permit, has the exact same meal, she's just committed a felony. And that's the intent of the law, to keep that from happening. One of the examples, even from and a lot of folks will say, you know, well, you know, you know you're not going, don't take your gun. And we had one, a representative tell a story about how he had gone on, a bike path, riding with a bunch of friends. There were six or ten of them out riding their bike, and he had in his fanny pack his weapon with him. And they stopped along the way at a restaurant, that was right off the bike path, and all his buddies were going in. What was he to do? He leave his gun sitting on his bike and
wrap the fanny pack around the handlebars. Right, that's good and secure. Let's bring somebody else into this discussion because we have on the line with us from Columbus, Ada, who is an assistant manager of a bar. Ada, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Mark.
We have heard an awful lot in the media. There have been a lot of reports from folks that have talked to people who say, I absolutely don't want any part of guns in my bar. I don't want, or restaurant, or whatever it is. And we're going to put those signs up. So I was looking around. We had to look pretty hard to find somebody who would even come on the show. And I appreciate you coming on the show and just, you know, give us your opinion, your view of where this falls.
I mean, well, I'm personally can still carry myself.
Okay.
Getting undressed is absolutely applicable. There's many times where I don't even carry just because I know that there are so many places that I'm not even allowed to take to carry inside. So I just leave it at home or I leave it in my car or whatever the case is. So I know that personally, I don't really see any problems with it. I think that there's just a lot more media hype because it's something that's unknown and something that people don't know enough about to really have a grasp on it. And unfortunately, the media has the upper hand in being able to sway the public, to their own agenda.
You know, some of our detractors, Ada, are going to argue that in your case, you're a bar owner. I'm assuming, is your primary source of income from sale of alcoholic beverages or sale of food, or is it 50-50? Do you sell alcohol and food 50-50, or do you make it most from alcohol? You still there, Ada? I think we might have lost you.
We might have lost her, but we need to take a break here in just a second anyway. So we'll be right back, and we'll talk more about this topic. Give us a call at 457-1290. 457-1290 is the number here into the studio. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
America, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to the show, and I want to encourage you, if you want to get on the show today, to give us a call at 457-1290, and we'll be glad to get you up on the air. I want to go back out to the phone lines and speak with Ada. Ada, just before the break, you'd given a little bit of overview of what your business is and your affiliation with the business, but I want to ask you, does your business primarily obtain most of its proceeds from alcohol or food, or is it 50-50, or do you have any idea of the breakdown?
We are primarily alcohol.
Okay. Now, the point I wanted to make there is some people differentiate between bars and restaurants, restaurants where the majority of income might be from food, and I don't know how they keep track of that or if they even keep track of that. But one of the points the detractors make is that since you run a bar and it's primarily alcohol, what else is someone going to do when they come there? Well, my assertion is, first of all, let me just ask, how would you respond to that concern that they're, why would they even go to the bar if they're not going to drink alcohol?
Oh, well, I mean, I think that's a pretty ignorant statement to make just from the sense that there are lots of people who go to bars and don't drink. If these are law-abiding citizens who, you know, have their concealed carry and they obviously know the law, why would they disobey that and say, oh, well, you know, now that I'm allowed to carry my concealed carry into a bar, why not drink? But the point is that we don't check, for when people come into my bar, we don't make sure that they have a designated driver. We don't make sure that they aren't driving home. We expect these people to be adults and law-abiding citizens. And it's the same concept with people with their concealed carry. We expect these people to be law-abiding citizens. And you don't jump to the conclusion that just because they're in an establishment with alcohol that they're going to get into a brawl or pull out their weapon for any reason.
Well, Ada, I'm so glad you were the one that basically gave that wonderful presentation, because that's kind of our stance on things, and people think that we're crazy when we promote those kinds of ideas. But there you are. You're living it. You see it firsthand. And, you're clear. You're halfway across the state. We don't have any affiliation. We've had no prior affiliation to you, but yet you still have the same views because you see it happening.
Let's bring in another opinion on this. I mean, we are certainly open to anybody and what their opinions are on this. So let's talk to Dave out in Piqua. And Dave, the notes here say that you're a bar owner that's against carrying guns in bars. Are you with us?
I do.
Go ahead.
I own a bar up in Piqua.
Okay.
And I'm a little I'm a little reluctant. You know, I've got mixed feelings about that. I probably don't do 10% food sales.
Okay.
And since I have a D license, that means I'd be covered under that law that people could come in with concealed weapons. And I'm not sure that I feel comfortable with anybody besides me having a gun in my bar.
Okay. Do you think that there absolutely is nobody in there with a gun that now? I mean, there's certainly nobody there legally with a gun, but do you think that there's nobody with a gun?
I can't say that. I really can't say that. But what I can say is if people are more likely to have guns in the bar, I can see where altercations would occur where somebody may not use the best judgment or they may take offense and think that they have to defend themselves. And if people, you know, if that were to occur, it puts me in a position of, all right, you almost have to, as the bar owner, and especially if I'm carrying, you know, am I going to let this guy pull a gun, not knowing that possibly all the circumstances?
Right. Well,
if the gun comes out, what do I do?
Well,
I just let people start popping off rounds? Or do I have to make a decision on, okay, you know, in order to protect my patrons, I may have to hold my weapon as well.
Well, the same.
It's not a position I want to be put in.
Let me just jump in just for a second. Then we're going to go to a break, and I want you to stay on the line because you're right in line with what we want to talk about today. But I want to say that back in 2003 and 2004, those were the same arguments that people made about the concealed carry law when it passed initially, and there have not been gunfights in the street. People have been going to all sorts of functions where they've consumed alcohol, and even in situations without the alcohol issue, there hasn't been that kind of confrontation where it's led to gunfire. So when we come back from the break, I certainly want to address that issue, and we'll certainly get a couple other callers on the line. But you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to the show, and I want to go right back out to the phones. And Dave, are you still with us?
Dave and Pickwell, are you still there?
Nope, we might have lost him. Have another caller?
Yeah. Let's go out and talk to Dennis in Fairborn, who's called in. Dennis, welcome to the show. Dennis, are you there?
Yeah. I'm a fierce defender and of the Second Amendment. I understand that it protects every other amendment that we have, and it protects us. And I can understand the NRA not wanting people to carry, not wanting to give up the right to carry assault weapons because it's a slippery slope and that's where you start. But what scares me about this particular one, I guess, is that not all bars are the same. Not all restaurants are the same. Some have a very unusual clientele. Not everybody is Applebee's.
Well, you know,
I think a lot of people in these bars, well, I know a lot of people in these bars, I don't drink anymore, but I did, are probably carrying weapons now.
That's exactly the case.
What scares me, before I'm done, just let me just get to this. So what scares me is putting more guns into a situation like this where a fella comes from McDonald's, walks across the street to Big Daddy's Liquor, comes in because he sees his buddy's car over there and he just wants to talk to him. So he talks to him for a while and they sit and they talk, and before long a couple more guys come in, he has a couple beers. What I've always thought was terrific about concealed carry is hardly ever, I can't remember the last case of somebody carrying a concealed weapon who was involved in a situation that he shouldn't be, who had pulled a weapon and was just caught up in a situation or robbing someplace or doing something like that. You don't see that with concealed carry. Those people are responsible. But this, I think, is going to give fodder to the people who are anti-gun. And I fear what's going to happen is with enough fodder, not only will this law get changed, but maybe others. And that scares me.
Okay, well, let me just address a couple of those issues. First of all, I want to just remind people that what the caller just talked about is true. There are people undoubtedly who have carried guns in bars, and we know of a couple of incidents in the last year where there have been incidents involving guns in bars by people who had them there illegally and committed illegal acts. That's going to happen regardless of what the current law is. The other thing that I think kind of goes unmentioned in what the gentleman just said and a lot of people's arguments is law-abiding people behave in law-abiding fashion. In other words, when he goes across the street into the bar, he's going to continue to carry the gun concealed like he always has. He's not going to advertise that he has the gun. It's not going to be the topic of conversation. He's going to have his conversation with his friend. He's not going to drink alcoholic beverages, and he's going to leave. I want to make a – I've done this before. We did it last year, and it came true, and I don't feel any concern at all making a prediction. Here it is, July 18th, 2011. I don't think we're going to – I'm sorry, June 18th, 2011. I don't think we're going to have any more noteworthy incidents in bars than we already have with the passage of this law. And I want to direct my attention now or direct our attention a little bit. Maybe, Jared, you can chime in on some of those issues.
Well, absolutely, and I'd like to point out the horrific events of Congressman Gifford's attack. One of the fellows who ran out after that to that attack was a concealed carry holder. He did have his weapon on him, and he showed restraint as a law-abiding citizen and did not, even in a situation where someone had been shot, feel the need to pull his weapon out. And the other point I wanted to go to was there are 22 other states that have no restrictions whatsoever on their concealed carry, and they're not having outbreaks in the streets or big, you know, problems in their alcohol or liquor establishments. So I really don't foresee any the fear that some folks have of coming to fruition.
Let's let Ada weigh in on this just a little bit. I just in case anybody had forgotten she was out there. I don't want her to think we'd forgotten you were out there, Ada. Well, what's your view on this?
I mean, I would think that if 22 other states have no restrictions on their concealed carry, and we are not hearing a rundown of stories of where these incidences have been happening, I don't see why the prediction would be that it would be different in Ohio than any of these other states.
That's exactly the case. And Toby Hoover, the director of the Coalition Against Gun Violence, I think just rephrased or recoined a phrase she developed way back in 2004 is, quote, "they're going to regret it," unquote, with no basis of knowledge, no evidence to support her claim. She just came out last week and made the same comment that they're going to regret it if they pass the law. And in fact, we didn't regret passing CCW in Ohio. We've had very similar results that other states have had as far as concealed carry goes statewide, and it's not going to be any different with restaurant carry.
Dave is called back in from Puebla. Thanks. Sorry we lost you there for a bit, Dave. Give us your view on this.
Well, I guess my biggest concern is I'm not so worried about the person carrying. What I really am worried about is introducing a gun into a position where you have people drinking alcohol. And I'm more concerned about somebody drinking alcohol and in any type of altercation or somebody not using good judgment. And a legal, sober gun concealing carry person has their gun removed from them by somebody that has been drinking, and then you've got a. Then there's the. I mean, you hear where trained police officers who are trained in self defense and know how to prevent that have lost their weapons, and there's a high percentage. And I don't know the exact number. But
okay, we need to throw this back over to the news center with Charles Van Sant for a traffic update. Thanks very much. We're back now. So I understand what you're saying there, Dave, and the problem is that there's just no history that says that those things are going to happen. And we've got many states where guns are allowed in bars. There are even more states where guns are allowed in restaurants that serve alcohol. And so combined, there's 42 states that have had no problems with guns by law-abiding citizens, and yet in Ohio we have several instances where people have had guns, gone into bars, and done bad things because that was their nature, not because the gun was there.
The other thing, Dave, I just want to remind you of, I live and work in a jurisdiction where there's probably 25 to 30 bars, and I'm going to throw out a statistic that I feel is very accurate. In the course of a week, we're probably, as a police department, we probably respond to one or two, maybe three incidents at bars. One, two, or all of those are usually related to just simply intoxicated subjects acting stupid. And
is that
not
the legal term?
Yeah, well, that's the essential element of it. And in most cases, we just get there and somebody takes them home. Or in the few exceptions, we end up having to give them a ride and a temporary stay in our municipal jail. But other than that, there aren't many incidents. Now, there are occasional fights. There are. I'm not going to say there's not. The other thing I want to mention about this is law-abiding citizens who take the training and who take this responsibility seriously generally will shy away from those incidents because they
exactly.
know it's not their problem. It's not their issue. And they know that they can only use deadly force if the situation warrants it, if their life or someone else's life is in imminent jeopardy. If two people just start arguing, they start pushing someone. My experience is those law-abiding citizens gravitate away from the problem, get in their car, and leave.
So they just want to get home safe.
Yeah.
I find that to be the case down in my bar whenever there's issues. Most law-abiding or most, you know, my normal patrons will bail out. So, you know, I agree. I'm just hoping that it doesn't, we don't see a situation where it has access to a legal carrier's gun or can get hold of, ends up having a problem with it. That's the concern I have.
And Dave, your concerns are very valid. I'm so glad you called in, and I don't necessarily want to be the one to change your opinion. I just want you to be open-minded about the issue, and I want you to kind of give it time to let some things play out, talk to patrons on both sides, see what people say, and then make your decision informed as opposed to what I'm afraid of. And I've already heard inklings of this, that some people are just going to have a gut reaction. They're going to say, well, the heck with it. They passed the law. I'm just going to put the sign up and solve the problem. I don't think that's solving the problem, and I think in days where everybody's dollar counts, you're pushing away a significant amount of revenue by eliminating those people from your establishment.
Dave, thanks very much for calling the show. Let's go out and talk to Quinn, who's been on the phone for almost forever, I'm sure it feels like. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Wanted to address a couple of issues, one being that people talk about only professionals should be allowed to carry because of weapon retention. I've been through police academy, Marine, everything else. Most of the officers I know will not train unless they're being paid to train. I know a lot of CCW holders, they train themselves constantly on their own dime.
We see that a lot at the range.
Yes. Second is describing an incident that happened years ago. I was doing security at a Burger King of all places. It was dead. I went down the street to the corner store to pick up a pack of gum, come back. It's an unarmed contract, no big deal. And we had a federal marshal, one of our elite law enforcement officers. He was drunk. He'd been bar hopping with his girlfriend. He was DUI. And then first thing he does is he starts going after me because, one, I'm unarmed on an unarmed contract. Two, I left it for 5 minutes to walk down to the store. He starts flashing his badge. He starts flashing his gun. He'd obviously been carrying while he was bar hopping in bars. And he was drunk like you wouldn't believe. Now, no matter what, you're going to have your 10%. So here we have an officer, one of our elite officers, doing the kind of stuff that these people are saying, oh, we can't police CCW people doing this. Well, the problem is, officers who are allowed CCW, you can't even police them. What if this federal marshal, who had been obviously looking for trouble, obviously looking for a fight, had been the one that had done this? Would these people be screaming that officers should not be allowed to carry concealed?
Thanks very much for calling the show. We need to take our last break of the hour. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to the show, and right before the break, Quentin brought up a good point. It's an unfortunate reality, but many people carry a gun for a living, don't take the time to engage in practice. One of the things we emphasize down at Sim Trainer is we encourage our people that gun ownership carries with it significant responsibilities for owning the gun, carrying the gun, potentially using the gun, and the way to make yourself most proficient in having positive outcomes is to take additional training. That's the biggest thing we're about. By and large, that's what we're all about at Sim Trainer, and I just want to emphasize that training is the key to a lot of this. Information dissemination and training is the key to all this, and that's what the way that you're going to solve those problems.
Let's go back out to the phones and talk to Phil, who's called in with some comments about the gun bar bill. Go ahead, Phil. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How you doing?
We are doing great. How can what would you like to contribute to this melee?
Well, I just had a point that my boss made the other day I never even thought about, was look how many millions, hundreds of millions of guns are in the households now, and I'm not naive enough to think that the people are not drinking in their homes, and they're not turning into shooting galleries in their homes and their apartments and their condos. They're managing to stay away from their firearms when they do drink. So for the opposition to think that all of a sudden it's going to turn into a shooting gallery and a bar, I think it is unfounded, and they have no evidence.
Yeah, it's exactly unfounded. Again, they're relying strictly on their supposition, and I want to take this opportunity, Representative Martin, to let you chide in on that issue or any other issues you want to before the show. We end the show.
Well, gentlemen, I just want to say thank you for having me on the show today. It's been a lot of fun, and I agree that we're not going to see, you know, we heard a lot of the same fear out there when concealed carry was first passed into law, and I just don't, the statistics aren't there, the history is not there to back it up that this will be any different than it is in the 22 other states that have no restrictions, or the total of 42 other states that do allow a concealed carry into places that have a liquor permit with maybe some sort of restriction on it. So I don't see this being a problem, and I'm looking forward to the governor signing this bill as well as the rights restoration bill in the next couple of weeks.
And I also want to thank Ada for joining us. Ada, tell us a little bit about where you are, and give folks, you know, give your place a little plug.
Oh, well, I work at the Big Bang Dueling Piano Bar in Columbus. It's a great live music venue in the Arena District. So come on down and have a great time.
Just to give everybody a heads up, though, the bill is not yet in effect. It'll be sometime in September, so leave your guns in your cars. Thanks very much for joining the show as well. We do have one caller still left on the line, and I want to get to him real quick. Ed, welcome to the show. Are you there, Ed? Did we lose you? All right. Ed, if you're listening to the show or if you're listening to the radio, be sure you turn your radio off, because it's going to be almost impossible for you to hear and talk on the phone with the radio going.
It's on, sir.
Okay. We got about 30 seconds.
I tell you what, I say that people want to carry guns off into a bar there and be drinking. It's a good idea.
Okay. Appreciate that very much. Thanks for that comment. We thanks very much for listening to the show as well. We've certainly stirred the pudding today, haven't we? It's been a lot of fun, and I want to thank all of our listeners, those who've chimed in and those who've just been listening, and maybe you have some comments. Send us an email at radio@sim-trainer.com or go to sim-trainer.com/radio, click on our Facebook page, and maybe you've got some comments you want to put there. If you haven't heard some of our previous shows and want to join in, you can catch those at sim-trainer.com/radio as well. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro with our guest Jared Martin for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.